Well, good morning. I trust God's been good to you this morning. And I'm trusting him to continue that as we open up God's word together. I'm hopeful this morning that we'll learn something together, something new about God and his love for us. So as we begin to look at God's word together, I've got two jobs this morning. The first is to introduce a new teaching series. All right, Kevin?
Yep.
And the second is to preach on the first topic. Now, I'm hoping to be finished by 12. And as it's 10 to 9 at the moment, I've got plenty of time. Oh, okay. So we begin a new teaching series this morning, and we'll be enjoying that for the next six weeks or so. With the exception of the baptism on the 3rd of March, the series will be about Jesus being the fulfillment of God's promise. And, you know, when I think about fulfillment, you may be surprised that I think about my grocery deliveries. Since the pandemic, Jan and I have had our groceries delivered to our door. And if you've used the supermarket delivery system, then you'll know it's a system which brings mixed blessings. But in my mind, it's a whole lot better than trudging around the supermarket aisles with a trolley and a list that doesn't contain everything you need. Now, when I place the order at the beginning of the week, there's the promise of a delivery that'll include everything I ordered. And on the day of delivery, or the day of fulfillment, I get a text and an email telling me what will be in the baskets when the delivery man comes. I can see from the looks on your faces that you've experienced this. And it's always interesting to see whether there'll be any substitutes or products which aren't available. And it's an unusual week if everything I ordered is delivered exactly. Or should I say that the promise is fulfilled. Now, surprisingly, this week, the promise was fulfilled. We got everything we ordered. So over the next few weeks, as we consider Jesus the fulfillment of the promise, we'll be looking at the fulfillment of that promise from five different aspects. The five titles we've chosen to use are Jesus the fulfillment of the promise, the King; Jesus the fulfillment of the promise, the Law; Jesus fulfillment of the promise, the Saviour; and Jesus fulfillment of the promise, the Sacrifice. But today we're going to start with Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise, the prophet. So before I wade into God's word, looking at the readings we've had from Luke and Deuteronomy, let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you that you've given us Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise that you made to the people of Israel, a promise which we have inherited. And Lord, as we begin to understand and learn more about this, we pray that you would be in the words that are spoken and the words that are heard, and that through the power of your Holy Spirit, we may learn more about you and more about what it is to be people who live in the fulfillment of the promise. Lord, hear our prayer, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A preacher once started his sermon on Deuteronomy 18 by saying, a Chinese proverb says, prediction is hard, especially when it concerns the future. That is so very true. In 1773, King George III said that the American colonies had little stomach for revolution. Little did he know. An official of the White Star Line, speaking of the firm's newly built flagship, the Titanic, launched in 1912, declared that the ship was unsinkable. Well, you know the end of that story. In 1939, the New York Times said that the problem of TV was that people had to glue their eyes to the screen. And we've been doing it ever since. An English astronomy professor said in the early 19th century that air travel at high speed would be impossible because passengers would suffocate. And I thank God he was wrong, because now I can go and see my family in America. Every single one of those predictions have been proven false. But today our teaching topic is about Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise for a prophet, which God told to Moses when he was talking to him, recorded for us in Deuteronomy 18. Perhaps we might rephrase our talk this morning as to one of encountering the ultimate prophet. As we begin to think about Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise for a prophet, I want you to do something that I think might be quite difficult. Because it's difficult not to remember something when you're told to forget it. So I want you to forget that you've heard about the resurrection. And I want you to put yourself in the place of those two disciples at the start of their journey on the road to Emmaus. Are you up for that? Good, there's some nodding of the heads, so I don't need to go and sit down straight away. I want you to think about how you would feel if you were one of those followers of Jesus but you didn't know about the resurrection. I want you to think about how you'd be feeling on that first Easter Sunday afternoon. Now, I know it's the first Sunday in the ninth in Lent, and I've cut to the end of the story, but please bear with me. You're walking home from Jerusalem. In other words, I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Cleopas and his companion at the end of a traumatic 3 days where they saw their hero put to death on a cross. 3 days when they went to Jerusalem to attend the annual Passover festival, to come away feeling rock bottom, their hopes dashed and their hearts full of grief. As we consider our Jesus, the fulfillment of the promise, let's figuratively journey with Cleopas and his companion along that 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I promise not to talk to you for as long as it would have taken them to walk that 7 miles. Or as long as it would take me to walk that 7 miles. As we figuratively walk westward towards the setting sun, pouring out our hearts to each other and discussing the events of that weekend, we will be joined by another traveller who will open up the scriptures. And so today, we embark on that same journey through the scriptures, entwining the promises of the old with the fulfillment found in the risen Christ. Our passage in Luke 24 encapsulates a transformative encounter on the road to Emmaus. And it's my prayer this morning that as we journey through the scriptures, we too will have that transformational encounter with Jesus through the power of his Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 24, Luke tells us of a puzzling journey. And as the story unfolds in verses 25 to 32, Luke unveils the prophet. And in Luke 24, 33 to 35, Luke tells us of the response to the prophetic word. So as we look at the puzzling journey, I want to confess that the story of the walk from Jerusalem to Emmaus has always held some interest for me. Luke gives us enough information for it to grip the imagination, but doesn't include everything that the hyper-inquisitive mind like mine might need to know. There's no name for Cleopas's companion. I wonder who they were. Nor does Luke explain why they don't recognise the traveller who walks along with them. I wonder why that is. What changed in Jesus, or were they so downcast that they were only looking at the ground? They didn't look at the person standing next to them. Or perhaps they were, as they were walking westward, the setting sun was low in the sky and was in their eyes. Luke tells us in verses 13 to 24 that those two disciples walking in disillusionment and confusion, disappointment and discouragement, their world shattered by the crucifixion and death of Jesus. All their hopes that Jesus would be the Messiah to rescue Israel were crushed. The Jesus on whom all their hopes were placed for the freedom of Israel was dead. Wonder as we might, they were unaware of the prophetic thread weaving through their history, unaware of the prophetic thread that results in Jesus fulfilling the promises of God once and for all. They were not blessed with the 2020 vision of hindsight. They journeyed on to Emmaus, just as we sometimes journey through life with questions and uncertainties. Perhaps in these two disciples, we can see our own struggles with understanding God's plan, our own struggles with understanding the way forward that God has planned for us. In their despair, the two disciples trudging along the road to Emmaus longed for a prophet, not realizing they were walking alongside the very one they sought. I wonder, how often do we miss the presence of Christ in our challenging moments? But as the story unfolds in verses 25 to 32, Jesus joins the disciples on their journey. Jesus inquires what troubles them, and then, beginning with Moses, expounds on the scriptures. We read, Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Surely when beginning with Moses, Jesus will have used those verses from Deuteronomy chapter 18 to begin his exposition on how the whole of the Old Testament, both the books of Moses and all the prophets, point towards him as the Messiah. Jesus connected all the dots for them, so there was no misunderstanding that the Old Testament scriptures show how the scriptures pointed towards and were fulfilled in him as the promised Messiah, the ultimate prophet. Luke clearly gave importance to Jesus' explanation and exposition of the scriptures, beginning with Moses. And we can see that when we look at the passage from Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy 18 verse 15, written by Moses, says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." But whilst here we can see the anticipation of a chosen prophet for God's people, it was not clear to those two disciples on that first Easter Sunday afternoon until Jesus turned up. Peter informs us that the passage does include... Yeah, at the time of Jesus, the passage in Deuteronomy was understood to refer to the Messiah. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the people said, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." That's from John chapter 6, verse 14. And Peter informs us that the passage refers to Jesus in Acts chapter 3, 22 to 23. Peter preaching says, "For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people.'" And we too must take these words seriously. For when it says in verse 15, "You must listen to him," that surely applies as much today as it ever has. I'm sure Jesus would have referred to the prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, and other passages from the scriptures in Psalms and Zechariah. And if you want to check those out, because time's getting on, you might want to look at Isaiah chapters 7, 9 and 53. And maybe Jesus referenced Micah chapter 5 and Psalm 22. But returning to our journey to Emmaus, we see that as they reached Emmaus, Jesus made to continue on. But the two disciples urged him to stay with them as it was nearly evening. At the meal table, the disciples' eyes were opened during the breaking of bread, a profound revelation echoing the Lord's Supper. William Barclay, writing in his Daily Study Bible, reminds us that the story of the journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus tells us of the courtesy of Jesus. He made as if to go on. He would not force himself on the two disciples. He awaited their invitation to come in. God gave to us the greatest and perilous gift in the world, the gift of free will. We can use it to invite Christ into our lives or to allow him to pass on. I'm reminded of that Pre-Raphaelite painting by Holman Hunt, "The Light of the World," which Leslie referenced in her prayer today, where Christ is pictured outside a closed door. The message of the picture is about Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. One of my favourite passages. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with them, and they with me." Christ stands at the door, holding a light. But in the painting, there's no handle on the door with which Christ can open it. Only you or I can open the door of our hearts to the revelation of Jesus. I wonder, have you opened the door of your heart all the way to Jesus? It is only something the individual can do. It's only something that you or I can do. So if you want to discuss that further, talk to me afterwards. Or pray with the prayer ministry team. They'll be only too pleased. Or speak to one of the deacons. Or come this afternoon and hear what Kevin has in his message of hope. So we've seen the disciples on a puzzling journey. And we've seen Jesus, or heard about Jesus opening up the scriptures to them as they walked. The final point for this morning is that when you hear the scriptures, there needs to be a response. When you hear the scriptures, there is a response. In verses 33 and 35 of chapter 24 of Luke's Gospel, the two disciples were transformed by this encounter, and they rushed back to Jerusalem with newfound understanding. They can't help themselves. And as they tell us in verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Renewed with the energy of seeing the risen Christ, they rushed back to Jerusalem. invigorated by the revelation that Jesus is the embodiment of God's word and that every prophetic promise of God is fulfilled in him, they quickly travel the 7 miles back to Jerusalem to bring the news to the other disciples. They bring the news that Jesus was alive and had risen from the dead and was still proclaiming the word of God with power and authority. And so it was for those two disciples in Emmaus, in that Emmaus home, that Jesus, the authentic prophet, fulfills the promise. His teachings align with divine authority, and through his sacrifice, he becomes the embodiment of God's word, the ultimate prophet, the light of the world. Surely the encounter on the road to Emmaus teaches us that meeting with Jesus, the ultimate prophet, can transform us into messengers, messengers of his redemptive truth. You know, I wonder, do we always recognize the authenticity of Jesus' message in our lives? At the start, brothers and sisters, I asked if you could imagine how you would be feeling on that first Easter Sunday afternoon, walking home from Jerusalem. Friends, may the road to Emmaus be our journey as well. A journey where we encounter the prophet who fulfills ancient promises and evokes a response in his prophetic words. In conclusion, can I remind you of the questions I asked earlier? Firstly, how often do we miss the presence of Christ in our challenging moments? Secondly, have we fully opened the door of our hearts to Jesus? And thirdly, do we recognize the authenticity of Jesus' message in our lives? And if I can encourage you with some words written by William Barclay, writing on the Luke chapter 24 in his daily study Bible, he said, "The Christian is one who walks not towards the sunset, but towards the sunrise. The Christian goes not onward to a night which falls, but to a dawn that breaks." Friends, let us walk together with eyes opened, heads held high, recognizing the presence of the risen Christ and the fulfillment of the promise of the prophet in our midst. And this week, as we go forward towards the dawn that breaks onto eternal life, may we be messengers of his authentic and transformative message. May we acknowledge Jesus as the fulfillment of the promise. And may we proclaim the risen Christ to a world in need. Amen.